How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. Today's show is going to be a little bit weird. Last show was a little bit weird, but Jen told me that she enjoyed it, so we're sticking with it. Sorry.
That's actually Dr. Jen. Please be respectful of your wife.
Yep. I apologize, Dr. Jen. You are still listening at this point. Usually you tune out at about 5 minutes or so. So while I still have you and everybody else here, you can find the show. You can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, and now the latest place you can find us is actually on Alexa. So those of you who use Google products, is it Google or Amazon?
It's Amazon. So once again, Anthony is old, and please really forgive him, Alexa. Uh-huh. So if you tell your Alexa device to find Locked On Lakers, she will play it for you. She's legally obligated to now, is my understanding.
Is the new Kanye lyric, couldn't afford an Apple TV, so she named her daughter Alexa?
I have no idea. Did Kanye release a new song?
Well, no. I mean, like, that was the famous one, right? That was one of his, couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. So couldn't afford an Apple TV, so she named her daughter Alexa.
Okay, so on today's show, we're going to talk about LaVar Ball and whether or not he's getting too much coverage, I guess. I'll jump right into the topic. Is that about right?
That's okay. Fair. So basically,
Anthony's opinion is getting too much topic. Anthony wants LaVar Ball to get off his lawn and stick to sports.
No, I want people who are covering the Lakers to do their jobs. Is that fair?
Is LaVar Ball not on the Lakers?
Wildly enough, no, he isn't. That's insane, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, he's not their starting power forward. So, like, let me give you this
example. Could he still beat MJ one-on-one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Have you seen MJ move lately?
Yeah, it's true. It's not pretty.
So, I saw a story cross my timeline, and it was LaVar Ball buys longtime employee a new truck, and it brought the employee to tears, and it's a really cool moment. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not anti heartstring moments where everybody kind of sees, all right, we know the LaVar Ball who is bombastic, who is obnoxious, who is in your face, who says all kinds of wild stuff. If you're going to cover that to the extent it's been covered, you should maybe also show the humanizing moments. I understand maybe where people are coming from if they're covering it from that angle. I just know from having been in this industry for as long as I have that that's not why people are covering it the way they are. They're covering it because clicks. That's how this business works. And so, like, if Julius Randle's dad were to buy a neighbor a truck or a longtime employee a truck, would it be covered at all? Would anybody care at all? If Bill Walton bought...
I mean, if it was on video, I think maybe.
I don't think so. Like, if Jordan Clarkson's dad bought somebody... Like, the fact of the matter is, I saw LaVar Ball on Ellen DeGeneres today. Like, this is getting insane, right? And this is not me saying...
They got to promote the upcoming season of The Real Lakers of Los Angeles. Shouts to Sean Hyken.
Would you agree, though, it's gotten a little crazy?
It would be very hypocritical for me to agree with that as the chief Levartical correspondent on the internet.
I think I saw a Lonzo Wire on Twitter.
Huh?
Isn't there a Lonzo Wire on Twitter?
I am not sure about that, but I am one of the chief covers of LeVar. So it would be very hypocritical for me to say that he gets too much coverage and then go write 10 blog posts about the latest thing that he said. But I mean, on some level, and I've been talking with people about this lately, it is maybe a little overboard, and there are some things that, like, it's like, okay, like, he said Lonzo is going to win Rookie of the Year on like 7 different shows now. Do we really need to cover it again? Like, LeVar Ball says outrageous, confident thing about Lonzo is really not that newsworthy to me anymore, unless there's a chance that it affects team dynamics, that it affects free agency, that it affects, you know, real tangible things like Lonzo getting targeted, basically. You know, if Joel Embiid were ever to play more than like 20 games in a season, he might like happen to face the Lakers, and we know he's pissed at LeVar. And then there's like, so like LeVar or Stephen Curry responding to LeVar Ball, like, that's kind of news, I guess, because it means like an NBA player is responding to this kid's dad. And then LeBron James basically telling him to keep his name out of his mouth, like, don't at me, essentially, because LeVar Ball talked about LeBron James as a parent. That's an easy parallel to draw, because the Lakers, as you may have heard, kind of want LeBron on their team next year. And LeVar himself has predicted that LeBron will be on their team next year, you know, NBA insider LeVar Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like, that's probably not helping, I would imagine.
I don't think it would help, no.
Yeah.
Speaking of LeBron, quick side note, because this is something that we maybe should have mentioned either last show or this one. LeBron's checking out private schools.
Well, that was a rumor. He did work out at that gym, which could be a way to hide that he was checking out private schools, but he also worked out at that gym. So, I don't know.
I'm taking it as to say...
Oh, I'm shocked that you're taking something and running with it.
Yeah. For those of you who are, like, hoping for, you know, updates and any bit that you can to cling to LeBron potentially coming to the Lakers, him looking at private schools is maybe something right up your alley.
You actually, if you take, you actually literally cannot spell LeBron James without L.A., so you can put your conspiracy tinfoil hats on there.
I hashtag LeBron to L.A. All right, on the other side of the break, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side of the break, we're going to keep talking about the LeVar Ball stuff, because I do find it interesting, and I think we can expand it into a larger discussion about the state of news and why so many people are as frustrated as they are with their news.
Oh, no.
All right, we're back. You go. We go to break with you just saying, oh, no.
Anthony, I swear to God, if you start talking about politics coverage on this podcast, I will quit.
Unbelievable. Just the mere possibility of it makes you just quiver and say, oh, no. Oh, God.
I'm not going to lie. I almost peed my pants.
All right, so we went to break. Teasing that the
Anthony was going to get us both fired.
The LeVar Ball coverage has gotten to a place where we can, I think, expand it to why a lot of people are as frustrated as they are with the people who provide the news, the, you know, hashtag lamestream media, right? I was in Tahoe with my parents last month, and they were just going on and on and on, bashing the media this, the media that, the media this, the media that. And I'm sitting there right, guys, remember the media.
Yeah, we're slowly edging it back to basketball, I think.
I promise we will. I promise. But the LeVar Ball stuff, it is all driven, 100% driven by clicks, by...
I take an exception. Okay.
It is. You wouldn't write about LeVar Ball if the articles didn't do well, right?
Anthony, I write about LeVar Ball exclusively for journalistic integrity.
People wouldn't look
hashtag
for LeVar,
press on.
People wouldn't look for LeVar Ball on the sideline of basketball games if they knew that the stuff that he said made headlines, right? And then those headlines would be aggregated, and you know, you see the cycle continue. And I'm saying, as somebody who is just as frustrated as many people with modern-day news coverage, that that's annoying. I don't need to know when LeVar Ball scratches his ass. I don't need to know that. I don't care to know when LeVar Ball donates a truck to somebody who he works with. I think it's really cool, and that the cameras happen to be rolling there is a little weird, but at the end of the day, that doesn't matter to me. For me as a Laker fan, all I care about is what is going to actually impact these Lakers. And the more that we give LeVar Ball a platform, the longer it is that he can, the higher probability or possibility that there is that he says something stupid that takes LeBron away. Basically, if he keeps commenting on LeBron's fatherhood and his abilities as a father, and people keep providing that platform,
to be fair,
to
him, he only did that once.
I would say,
and
if
it's also not the media's job to make sure that LeBron goes to LA.
No, sure, but I would argue though that if the media is so interested in LeVar Ball for the clicks, they should be interested to the nth degree to LeBron showing up, because as soon as LeBron shows up, right? Like, so even if we're applying your rules, the media should not give LeVar the opportunity to say something stupid that takes away the potential future clicks that LeBron would potentially bring, right?
I don't think anybody thinks that deeply into it.
Well, I would assume not, because people keep on talking to LeVar. But look, at some point, I could just imagine, I hope, that we'll reach a point 5, 10, whatever years down the road, and we'll look back and we'll laugh and be like, remember that one LeVar Ball guy? Like, remember how wild it was that, you know, people took him seriously when he said that Lonzo Ball as a rookie is going to be better than Steph Curry? Remember how stupid we probably looked back then when we took seriously and we continued to give him a platform when he said that he could beat Michael Jordan in his prime? And people took it and ran with it and gave him the free pub that people have over the course of the last 6 months or so? Like, my thing is, at some point, somebody's got to step up and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to stoop that low, and I'm not going to.
Anthony is stepping in for journalistic integrity, everybody. I just want to say, you know who else has liked to go around telling the media what they should and shouldn't cover and what's fake news?
You?
No, there's another parallel to draw here.
I swear to God, you were the one who warned me not to get into politics.
I'm just saying, just think about it.
It's just the. Can you at least grant the frustration that comes from Laker fans who are saying, who gives a flying bleep about LeVar Ball?
No, because there are very much people who do give many flying bleeps and many flying clicks about LeVar Ball.
I guess.
And I say that as someone who is trained as a journalist somewhat. I don't have my degree yet, but I'm working on it. And so maybe that's like the last class that they take where they talk about this. But I'm not, like, when I write things, it's generally not to go get clicks. It's not. Like, I do know what will get clicks, and I know how to phrase things, and I know how to, like, frame things to make them more clickable. But as far as what I'm choosing to write about, like, clicks don't influence that as much, you know, maybe as they used to. They used to a little bit more, not as much recently, because in the end, like, we kind of have to cover what we want to cover and what we think is a story, and you can frame that better and make it more clickable. But I generally just don't, and I don't want to speak for the whole media, because there are definitely people that cover things for just clicks. There are certain outlets, like, we all know them, that, like, cover things just to get clicks, and that's fine. And, like, clicks are what pays the bills on some level, and so that's fine. And everybody has to make that choice for themselves. But as far as me in determining what I want to cover, it generally is not based on what I think will get clicks.
So then why would you ever write about LeVar Ball?
Because I do think that there are times where stuff he says is kind of a storyline. Like, I think yesterday when I wrote about him making his 50-plus wins prediction, like, it's kind of a storyline because it gets back to this whole thing of, like, eventually it might come back to haunt Lonzo that his dad is setting the bar so high. And that it's, like, so far ahead of what people are predicting for them. Like, I get being a proud parent and things like that. Like, you know, like, I'm really proud of Grant Goldberg, but I'm not going to go say that, like, he should be running, you know, the New York Times of social media accounts just because I think he's good at tweeting. Like, You know, I might set attainable goals for him, but LeVar coming out and saying that the Lakers are going to easily win 50 games is the type of thing that I think is putting the cart before the horse a little bit, and it puts so much pressure on Lonzo for, like, if he doesn't do it, people are going to be lining up, ready to crying Jordan, both of them and their entire family.
What if nobody covered what he said, though? Would he just get wilder? Would he say that the Lakers would go 73 and
oh, so a eight? Theoretical world where the media doesn't cover LeVar Ball that will never exist?
Yeah, right. So
yeah, he would just, I think he would progressively say wilder and wilder things because this is their marketing plan. It's great for Big Baller Brand anytime he gets aggregated. That's why people are buying $500 Lonzo Ball shoes. That's why people are paying $400 for a 16-year-old signature shoe so that he can afford to buy a Lambo. Like,
but it's also why people are so frustrated with the way stuff is covered nowadays.
Some people are. I think there are a lot of people that like the soap opera drama of it, and I think everybody has a right to like the type of coverage that they like.
Sure.
There are different audiences for something breaking down. You know, like there's a different audience for Laker Film Room and talking about here's every single pass that Lonzo Ball made that created an opportunity for the Lakers. And, you know, LeVar Ball says the Lakers are going to win 50 games. Those are audiences that overlap on some level. But for the most part, if you're looking at a Venn diagram, those two are not touching much.
Right. And so my thing is, what does it actually add to it other than, like you talked about, the melodrama? The male soap opera that, male soap opera.
I mean, honestly, people watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. People watch Ball in the Family, which is basically Keeping Up with the Baldashians and my new favorite show. You know, people like to be entertained by different things. I'm sure that, you know, like you and I have different entertainment interests sometimes, and maybe not as much when it comes to basketball media, but when it comes to other stuff. And I'm sure like you and Dr. Jen probably do. Like, she seems relatively intelligent and probably has like way cooler like interests outside of basketball than you do. And so I think everybody just, they like different things. And I think it's okay for people to like and want to read about different things.
And that's all fair. But I still get back to the issue that clicks drives coverage.
Yes, to some degree, that is 100% true. With certain sites and certain writers, that is 100% true. And I'm not going to lie, I've written posts to get clicks before. Like, you know, everybody has. You're lying if you say that you're having. You're just like, you're being holier than thou. And the only person that I think in the world that maybe hasn't ever written something just to get clicks is maybe Darius Soriano. Other than him, everybody at some point in their career has been like, you know what, I'm not really feeling this that much, but I know people are going to click it, and I'm going to write it up. And like, basically, almost anyone who says they haven't done that is lying. But so, yes, there is an element of it to that, but I think the vast majority of it is because sometimes it's fun to write about. Sometimes it's fun to read about. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's relevant, it, like in the case of him talking about LeBron.
And I don't have much to say to the contrary, to be completely honest. I came into this, I still feel to a large degree that LeVar Ball, in many instances, stands for what a lot of people don't like about media in 2017. But the points that you made about people being to each their own kind of thing, and so long as there is interest, why begrudge people for covering it? Then I think, you know, it's kind of a chicken and the egg argument, right? It's basically, would people cover it if people didn't continue to click on it? And the other way of phrasing it is, should people be withholding stuff that people could necessarily be interested in, right? And so with LeVar, for me personally, I'm sick of hearing about it. I don't like I said earlier, I don't need to know every time he says Lonzo was going to be better than insert superstar here. I don't need to know that. And eventually, like you mentioned earlier, it's going to get pretty old for Lonzo when every time he plays that superstar that LeVar mentioned, that superstar lights him up. It's going to get pretty old pretty quickly. And look, I just saw like the fifth iteration of Lonzo doesn't think his dad's going to be a problem as he enters the NBA. I just saw, you know, the
in breaking news, player not willing to ether their own father.
Yeah, right. But I do.
But anyway,
think,
so like
I would imagine though that to a certain extent, if Lonzo was given true serum, I bet he would probably say like, Dad, can
No, I don't think Lonzo cares, to be honest. But anyway, no so way. Like too long.
No, whoa,
too long
whoa,
didn't
whoa,
listen,
whoa.
Anthony. I won.
How one? Where'd you get a bell?
I keep one at my desk.
Two, you really don't think
so
that
I put
somewhere
more
deep inside Lonzo, somewhere deep inside Lonzo, when LeVar goes out there and says, and Steph Curry is made to respond to LeVar saying these things, Lonzo's not like, yeah, this might suck next season.
No, I don't think Lonzo cares even a little bit.
That's insane.
He doesn't seem to care very much about very much of anything.
Breaking. Lonzo doesn't have heart.
No, I think he has heart. I honestly, outside of the basketball court, I really do not, like, I do not get the impression that he cares about very much. So I don't think that it's much skin off his back. Like, I don't think he cares. I honestly, like, I believe him when he says that.
And I don't, but you've had more conversations with him. All right, so the second part of this show, for those of you who don't know, Harrison's kind of sort of hanging him up, right?
Yes, out of respect to Kobe, I have, you know, because I always wore both my number 24 and 8 jerseys while I was blogging, I have also decided to hang up my blogging jerseys in, you know, out of deference to the Lakers retiring both of his numbers. So I am, you know, I am leaving Silver Screen and Roll. By the time that people are listening to this, Wednesday was my last day there. I am not leaving the journalism industry before you. Well, I don't want to say panic. That would be very
Panicking.
Yeah, nobody's panicking. No, really, nobody should be.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah, don't worry too much. Like, I'm going to be fine. I'm stepping away. I'll have more news for it a little bit later this coming week on where I'm going next. But yes, I am done at Silver Screen and Roll. It has been an incredible ride that I actually do have a piece coming out where I felt like I could kind of express my feelings. I express my feelings much better written than verbally. And so I have something coming out on just my time at Silver Screen and Roll and why it was so amazing, and just it really was. And, you know, it's a bittersweet moment stepping away from a blog that I do feel like I was able to have some role in building into what it is today alongside the great and amazing Drew Garrison. And, you know, it's bittersweet, like I said, but I'm excited for what's next, and we will have more news on that soon.
So what I wanted to talk about, just to slightly extend the conversation we were just having a second ago, you have worked in an industry that, as an aggregator, the sole purpose of aggregation is clicks.
Right? I don't agree with that.
What?
To be honest. Sometimes it is, but like I said, I don't totally agree with that. I've aggregated things that I didn't think were like the most clickable that I thought were interesting.
I just don't see the purpose
of
writing.
Your mind.
No, I don't necessarily agree. It's hard for me to say I don't agree with something that you just said about your experience, right? I'm not going to sit here and call you a liar.
Again, I am the expert in LeVarticles, so I know better than you, and I win. I can get the bell back out. Like.
But like aggregation is this weird thing that has kind of developed that it's this corner that has become extremely polarizing, right? People either say, you know, we're sick of the clicks industry.
Did you just accuse me of working on the corner?
Yeah, you have incredible legs, so.
Oh, my God. You didn't have to take it the next step further, man.
I just pictured you.
Okay, all right. Nobody, we apologize. I'm going to bleep that out. That was. Anthony has officially lost it.
It's like dark outside. You roll up your jeans.
Okay. So I'm gonna have to edit this out. Like,
all right, I'm gonna get it. All right, I'm back. Anywho. Aggregation has become really polarizing because for a lot of people, such as myself, and look, I am an aggregator. That's one of the things that I do currently, well, not less so nowadays, but It's one of the things that I do, and it's maybe the only way to get paid as you enter into the industry of journalism and or blogging, right? The only way people, a lot of kids come in and I'm just as guilty as all these kids who say, well, no, I want to write and I want to be paid to write, but I only want to write the things that I find interesting. I want to write about the big stories, right? And then all of a sudden you get that slice of humble pie where it's actually, no, you're going to be writing a shit ton about LeVar Ball.
Can you not curse? We're supposed to not be explicit.
Honestly, if people can't say that word, shit.
Okay.
Anywho. But like I was saying, you get that humble pie. I mean, look, you and I have had how many conversations do you think about this? Over or under 1,000 about the like best.
It's got to be. It's too many, to be honest.
But that's where you know, for you as an aggregator, where did you kind of draw the line? Where did you say, all right, I know this would get clicks, but I don't necessarily want to write about it?
It depends on what else is going on that day. If there's more stuff that's meaningful, like if there's like 5 meaningful things, then I'll probably leave it. But if there's like 1 meaningful thing and nothing else, then maybe I'll write. I'd be more compelled by the clicks argument.
And do you have anything that you look back on? I mean, it's easy now because it's fresh in your memory. The Lil B thing is something that you look back on and it's like, all right, yeah, that was kind of a cool thing.
I do not regret that at all. That was one of the that
no,
was
I'm not
of
saying I'm not saying
I've
regret.
Had.
I'm saying like, is there anything that you look back on and say like, you know what, that was, even though it was written to get the clicks, that wound up being really cool.
Yeah, that was honestly one of the most fun things I wrote like over the last month. Like there just hasn't been a lot going on, and that ended up being awesome.
So, where do you see this whole thing moving forward? Do you think it continues on this clicks obsessed?
No, I think that the new avenue? Metrics regarding watch time, like read time, like how long people stay on a page are going to start to become more prevalent. I think eventually someone is going to figure out how to make money from online journalism, like more reliable money from it. It's just the biggest problems right now is, and this is getting really inside baseball, but is like in print, you could tell advertisers here's how much space you're getting exactly. Like here's exactly how big that ad's going to be. But online, people can find, you know, they can set up ad blockers. If they don't set those up, then, you know, the site is a different size on every single device. It's going to look, the ad's going to look different depending on whether or not you're looking at your desktop or whether you're looking at your, the article on your mobile phone. If, you know, and then the other thing is that Facebook has stolen a bunch of ad money. Facebook has taken a lot of ad money because Facebook can target you way, way better than, you know, than your other, than like, you know, websites can, because it has, just has way more, like Facebook knows every single thing about you. It's a little terrifying and it can target ads to you a lot better. And so that's been like, those have all been major problems for journalism and publishing and things like that. But I think eventually somebody is going to figure this out, and eventually clicks are not going to be as important as other types of metrics.
And
was
I can't,
good? Was that
I,
good enough for you? Did
no,
I think
absolutely.
I passed my journalism innovations class.
That was really cool. And for those who are, look, I know this is a Lakers podcast, and starting next week, we're getting back to the day-to-day thing, and we're going to do position by position.
Yes, we're going back to daily.
Yeah, we're getting into the, we're going to start doing the position by position preview, and then we'll do a Pacific Division preview, and we'll do a Western Conference preview, and a league as a whole preview. All of that good stuff is to come. I just think at this time in the off season, where we have a little bit of time to be flexible in the topics that we cover, I think what you just talked about was really interesting to me. And it's way more impactful than whoever is the second shooting guard coming off of the bench for the damn Lakers.
Like, but please listen to our show next week on the second shooting guard coming off the bench for the Lakers.
Yes. Please continue to subscribe.
That was a horrible plug, man.
But I do think, though, like this whole, because it is something that a lot of people are at odds with in terms of the way they get their news, whether it's weather news, look, we've seen it in the hurricane coverage, that whoever says that Irma is going to be the ugliest tends to get the most pub, right? That's kind of terrifying. We see it in political coverage. I'm not going to get into politics, but
my heart just started beating again.
but we see how certain things are covered. We're like, for some reason, people care way more about Ted Cruz's likes on Twitter than hundreds of thousands of people who could be kicked out of the country. Look, at the end of the day, what is really interesting to me is the evolution of the way people take in their news media. And for you and me, and for you especially, I think you present an interesting opportunity to give your side of things working currently in print and currently in online media.
It is a very I think some people that have followed me for a while have noticed this. I have two Twitter accounts. I have one for my CSUF stuff, and I joke sometimes that like the one of them is the good journalist and the other one's just a blogger. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of true. It's weird. I'll go from work where I'm covering like DACA and like meaningful stuff and like things that like matters and makes a huge difference in people's lives. And then I come home and I write about LeVar Ball predicting 50 wins for the Lakers.
Yeah. And I think both sides of these things are really interesting dynamics. And the reason I wanted to talk about this with you is because you present both sides of this discussion.
I am like Two-Face.
Just don't start flipping coins to shoot kids.
Like
he did at the end of The Dark Knight. Like that was his thing.
This has been like if we are going to get fired for a podcast, it's going to be this one.
It will not be this one. Thanks everybody for listening though. This was a lot of fun. This was a slightly shorter show than usual. We're sending you into the weekend. On the other side of the weekend, like I talked about earlier, we're going to get back into daily shows. We're going to start really previewing the Lakers season that is to come. The rotation that is to come.
Send us questions about specific spots in the rotation in our iTunes reviews. Leave us a 5-star review and leave us a question that you want answered about any of the Lakers' positional rotations. And Anthony and I will do our best to get to every single one of those.
And if you leave hashtag fake news, Harrison's last name is spelled F-A-I-G-E-N. If you spell out or if you do hashtag F-A-I-G-E-N-N-E-W-S, I will personally make sure that whatever you mentioned to start that show will make it, or to start that review will make it into the show.
And leave your Twitter at too if you want a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, this was fun. This was fun. I hope everybody enjoyed this. Like I said, next week we'll be getting back into the heavier basketball stuff that you guys have come to love us for, although I use love.
Unless LeVar says something outrageous.
Yeah, if LeVar predicts that like his podcast, he's going to start a podcast and it's immediately going to be better than Locked On Lakers, you can bet your
Anthony will actually drive to Chino Hills and fight him. Like that's a guarantee.
No, I'm inviting him to Temecula, and
good call. Yeah,
we will drink some good red wine that they have down there, and then we will fight. Although he has me outweighed by like 50 pounds.
I think you'd be in for a big baller beating.
Yeah, he would. He's a former professional football player. All right. Anywho, you can find the show, as always, on Audioboom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, and now Alexa. Couldn't afford an Apple TV.
Although, hopefully, you just daughter Alexa. You just said, no, come on, man. And you just set off everybody's Alexa, because now it's like searching for commands.
I hope somebody's Alexa started playing Kanye music. That'd have been great.
Alexa, order Harrison's O2s.
Have a good one, everybody.